my mother-in-law, Nana, and my wife, Jennifer, they needed another day. Like, Monday should be the day after Mother's Day that they actually get off work, too, because I think we wore them out this weekend doing all the things that we were out doing. This segment is going to be brought to you by DMOS. It is Des Moines Orthopedic. What we're looking for is they're looking to get you back to living the way you were through orthopedic care if something happens to you. All the different things that that they provide in services. They do foot and ankle, hand, hip, knee. What else do I have? Shoulder, spine, sports medicine, trauma, urgent injury. They have two locations, one in West Des Moines, one in Ankeny. The one in Ankeny is closed, but it's opening up in at 7 a.m. right now. If you had something and you needed to go to DMOS out in West Des Moines, the wait time is 1 hour and 45 minutes, but I guarantee they'll get you in, and I'll guarantee that they'll take care of you. Love having DMOS being a part of the show and keeping athletes and some of us older folks who are trying to still be a little athletic. I could have used them. My back, oh, to too many holes of golf. 30, what did I have, 38? I think I did 46 holes of golf this weekend. It was a lot, but it was a ton of fun. Randy, how are you?
I'm good.
General manager and assistant vice president of the Iowa Cubs. Is that correct? Did I hit that this time?
Vice president, assistant.
I mean, I'm going to get it right one of these times. I try to do it by memory, and that's not good. Tell us what is up this week with the iCups.
Yeah, tomorrow we start 12 games in 13 days. We'll have six against Omaha and then take next Monday off, and then another six coming in right behind. We've got tomorrow night, we've got Baseball Bingo sponsored by the Radio Station Group to play along with in our Tuesday promotion. It's two tickets, two pizza slices, two Cokes, or two beers for $32. It's a great deal.
Yeah.
Every Tuesday, so you can come in. We got noon games Wednesday, Thursday this week. We've got some school groups coming out, some business groups coming out. For all of our noon games, if you drop your business card in at Fan Services, we'll have a drawing for a suite or a group of 50 later in the year. So we'll be giving that away at the day games and our business person special. And then we got a great weekend, Friday night fireworks. We've got Saturday, kids play catch on the field before the game, and then kids run the bases on Sunday along with our food pantry promotion with a free GA ticket for every three non-perishable food items. We've got our bike to the ballpark specials, which finally matter now that the weather has warmed up and you can ride your bike to the ballpark and all the fun stuff. Our family fun pack on Sundays for the ticket bundle and things too. So it's going to be a full week. It's nice to have Omaha in town. You know, the Royals fans always get a kick out of seeing the Storm Chasers. And we're just happy to have some more, you know, representative baseball weather. If it's a little warm and some rain pops up, we'll manage with the tarp. But we're looking forward to a good week and really feeling like we're taking a step forward with the season now that coming up.
Yeah, I agree. And the weather has not been great, and it can't be. I mean, the field and the facilities are so gorgeous anyway, but it couldn't have been great weather for the field. I mean, it just with no sun, a lot of cloudy days, cold, freezing when it shouldn't be freezing, just a lot of stuff to handle. But I agree with you, 90 degree day, that'll do a lot. I'm assuming after today, yards are going to grow really quick, so that's got to be a good thing.
Yeah, we can deal with hot, you know, for baseball games. Baseball cold. can be dealt with when it's a little bit warmer than you'd like, a lot better than when it's a little bit colder than you'd like. So to be able to shed the blankets and the jackets and all the extra. You know, we've got the water station set up at the ballpark, and, you know, the ballpark is meant for a cold beverage of choice, whether it's a beer for an adult or a pop for the kids or a bottle of water or slush or all the different things that you have to drink. We've got lots of options, and kick back, relax, and enjoy some baseball. And we're moving a lot of players around right now, so there's always someone new to see and something interesting to learn about the team on a daily basis.
And that's kind of typical this time of year, isn't it? Having a little bit of movement, or you're having more movement than normal?
Now's that time of year where, you know, guys start to get a little bit nicked up. You know, by nature of the lockout, rosters were reduced at the major league level, so that has moved some things around. You're having to create expanded roles Now the Cubs have pulled up a couple of guys who were stretched out here because they reduced the bullpen a little bit and try to find some guys to eat some more innings. There's almost a roster move every day at the AAA level. Rare is the week where that goes by where you don't have a roster move. And now we've got Nelson Velasquez up from AA. He's on the 40-man roster and another prospect guy to pair with Brendan Davis in the outfield. Nelson Maldonado came up a week ago, and he promptly hit in six of his first seven AAA games. So there's some interesting guys. You know, we saw firsthand how the Cubs built their last winning team through the draft and through their prospects. And after they traded all those guys last summer and the guys they got in return, we're now seeing that next wave and who's going to step up and prove themselves to be part of that next group. And that's always been the fun of AAA baseball. But we know how the Cubs like to do this under Theo and Jed, and now just Jed. So I imagine the blueprint's going to be similar, and we're going to get that front row seat to see who's next again.
So once again, and we have Randy Weyhofer in here today, tell me what that's like. So is that a call from General Manager Hoyer to you? Or, I mean, how does that go back and forth?
No, I get copied on the email.
You get copied, okay.
I get copied on the email for who's coming in to take that guy's place.
Gotcha.
The communication goes from the farm director to the manager of the team. The manager and the trainer are the first to know. They make the trainer makes the back end arrangements. The manager's the one that informs the player. And then once that happens, then the chain of communication fills in for who needs to know all the necessary parts, for who needs a hotel room coming in, who needs what apartment are they moving into, what are all the details that go into taking care of the logistics of getting someone from point A to point B. But we just find out we are not part of that decision, nor would we want to be.
I don't blame you on that.
There's a lot more job security in picking up the back end of that than being on the front.
That's kind of a new term, and I know it probably shouldn't be a new term as much as I love baseball, a farm director. So a farm director is in charge from single A all the way up, or?
Yeah. They're not really called farm directors anymore. There's, you know, minor league development leader. You know, there's all sorts of different titles that you can give, but the generic term is farm director, and they're in charge. They've got the whiteboard in their office with a magnet of every guy's last name that's in the system, and they're in charge of knowing who's got options, who doesn't. You know, they're in charge of keeping track of what day all the starting pitchers are on. So if somebody gets hurt, you know, a lot of times, you know, you got that five-man rotation or some version of that. There's been lots of great stories throughout history of a guy who got called up, not because he was pitching the best at the level he was at necessarily, but pitching well enough to be considered, and it was his day. If I need a starter on Tuesday because somebody's injured or the big league team needed to pull a guy and the dominoes fall, that guy goes up, and then if he pitches well, he stays. And maybe he wouldn't have had that opportunity if they needed the guy the next day after he had thrown his 100 pitches and was down for four or five days from that. So you got to keep track of all of those things. And you know, they play Jenga with that big board in their office of who fits where, what positions are of need, who's deserving, who are the guys that we want to push, and keeping track of the development plans for all of the different players. And then they get the reports from all the managers, the roving instructors, all the people that are eyes in the ballpark to put context to the box scores that come out of every minor league game.
Very interesting thing I saw this week, and I was trying to see exact terms, but it said that the Dodgers had like five or six games last week, and now they have 25 games in 25 days. Is that because of the lockout? Because I'm trying to think back. Did the season start when the season was supposed to start first?
No, it was late.
It was late. So that's kind of, so do all teams at some point during the season, are they going to have a stretch where they have 25 games in 25 days?
Probably. Because Major League Baseball confines their travels to Monday and Thursday, but they play the four-game series when you go out to the West Coast or you have long travel to bundle up things. Some of that's probably the doubleheader that they played with the Cubs this weekend after the rainout on Friday, and how that gives you an extra game in that allotment, even though you might have an off day there. You know, minor league baseball has fallen into this pattern coming out of COVID the last two seasons, where we're Monday through Sunday, or Tuesday through Sunday, off Monday, next series Tuesday through Sunday. Well, Major League Baseball is still on the more traditional 2-4-game series, depending on where you're at, who your travel partner is. You know, they can stick a 2-game series in Chicago between the Cubs and the White Sox because there's no travel involved. You know, they're trying to be aware of mileage, even on charter flights, and some of the things that go along with everything's easier at the major league level compared to some of the others with the resources that they have. So I imagine, you know, the Cubs, the Dodgers, having been at Wrigley, are probably in a stretch where they don't have those off days because they're getting their games in against the National League Central and or National League East, just like the Cubs going out to play San Diego and Arizona this week. So you probably missed that travel day and you're playing because you're trying to knock out as many games as you can while you're on that loop of being further away from your home territory. So there's, without memorizing the Dodgers schedule, those are probably the factors off the top of my head as to why those things are. Maybe they've got another doubleheader thrown in the middle somewhere because they had a game lost earlier in the season. I don't know. But the lockout started things late, but they just lopped off some games at the front, left the schedule as it was, and then found ways to fill in some off days. And that may be where they've made up some of those games on what days would have been off in one of these stretches. And I imagine that'll be the case for most everybody because they are still playing 162. They started late, but they're not extending the season. So they're sprinkling in those 8 games that they missed to some off days and wherever you were playing that opponent. And maybe there was a day off in the middle somewhere.
And talking about that field person who we talked about a few minutes ago, when you have that many games and that many days, you have to have the ability to move some of your roster around as well. So it's very interesting to see how everything, you know, kind of works out through there. If you had to look at Major League Baseball right now, anything really blatantly stick out to you as I didn't see that coming, or wow, they're even better than I thought they were going to be?
I'm not sure anybody is at the top of the heap that wasn't supposed to be necessarily. The Red Sox being as bad as they are probably to be the biggest surprise. You shouldn't be a month into the season and behind the Baltimore Orioles.
Payroll. That's a small payroll.
Still. So I think that sticks out. I think, you know, I've got some friends in Chicago that are White Sox fans, and they were panicking early. I still think they probably win that division. I'm not sure Carlos Correa by himself turns the Twins into a championship club, although they could be a wild card contender, especially if the AL East picks each other off a little bit as they play more in division games, and maybe some of those teams get a little bit fatter as the season goes along, and maybe another team from another division could sneak in there. But you know, off the top of my head, that's probably the thing that sticks out the most, and the thing I've heard the most is, why aren't the Red Sox better than they are at this point?
Because it's a lot of payroll. I mean, the people tend to see payroll and go, why aren't you winning? I mean, that was the problem the Yankees had in the late 80s, early 90s. They had a huge payroll and they weren't winning because they weren't doing it the right way. And they rethought the process and you know, started to have success. You have to have a little bit of both. You've always said that. You have to have your minor league organization and you have to have the money to go out and get free agency. Now, a lot of people don't have that part and there's nothing they can do about that. So they have to be even double good at everything else.
And you have to be a little bit lucky. It has been long my contention that no championship is won almost anywhere, certainly not at the top level of sports, without some level of overachieving.
Right.
And what payroll does is eliminate the opportunity for you to overachieve and exceed expectations. If expectations are so high that losing a game at any point in the year is such a great disappointment, you can't sustain that. You know, I think Alex Rodriguez is a good example of it. It was only after he had been beaten down several rungs that he had a good World Series and the Yankees actually won one with him that he actually exceeded expectations for the first time in his life, because the expectations were so high that he couldn't possibly. He'd have to go 10-for-9 in order to exceed expectations, and we know that's not possible. So there is something about the emotional aspect of a game where no matter how much talent you have, there has to be some element of surprise there. Just think about all the Super Bowls. Even you know, do the Rams lose Odell Beckham Jr. and still, you know, there was an expectation they were able to exceed because yes. a player got lost in the middle of that game. And you can go through. I've lost track a little bit, but I used to keep track. You go look at any team that's won a championship at the major league level, and there is some element there where they overachieved. Because that's what you need to do to kind of cement that unit that you have and build that belief within the ranks of your team. I mean, even the years that LeBron has won has been some level of overachievement based on the roster. They didn't go into Miami and win it immediately. They got knocked down a peg, and then they were able to overcome and get back a little bit. There's always been some level of exceeding expectations that comes along with winning at the highest level. And that's hard to do if everybody thinks that you should win every time you set foot on the field.
And I even think Joe Madden, I think his quirkiness helped them win that first World Series. But then quirkiness doesn't always work either. You know, quirkiness sometimes helps you. Quirkiness sometimes goes against you. And it was just something, he was a little different. And people bought in.
Well, Ditka, Guillen, Joe Quenneville, Don Zimmer, Joe Madden, you look at championships in Chicago, they're all led by quirky people.
Yep, and that just shows right there. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Randy, this stuff goes way too fast. I got him back for another segment. We'll be right back.
Here's a look at traffic
of the criminal, and thanks from Crime Stoppers.
1700 The Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, hope everybody had a great day. Please drive safely home. I have Randy Wayhofer in here. Randy, just so I don't screw this up again, tell everybody your exact job title, because I'm going to mix it up, and then I'm going to write it down, and I'm never mixing it up again.
I'm just the Vice President and Assistant General Manager.
Vice President and Assistant General Manager.
Assistant GM is really the only part that anybody cares about.
When you were growing up, and I guess I should go through this you are listening to Steen on Sports. We are bringing sports your way. I'm so excited to have Randy in here every Monday that I have so many things to ask him. You're listening to us on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. This segment will be brought to you by Palmer Group. Palmer Group was founded in 1998 by Austin Palmer. His goal was to change the Iowa employment landscape by serving both candidates and clients in their needs with a people-centered approach. Palmer Group became an employee-owned company in 2016. They have a lot of jobs and opportunities out there that are available, have a lot of ways that can help you find the right job for you. If you're looking for work, they have accounting and finance, admin and customer service, construction, engineering and manufacturing, human resources, information technology, marketing and sales, mortgage and banking. They will, even if you're a college graduate, they will help you with your resume. They'll help you answering the tough questions that you're going to see depending on what kind of field you're going into. They're going to help you get the job that you need. Plus, they know where the jobs are and they can get you there quickly. They have well over 300 open jobs right now that they're trying to fill. So once again, I thank Palmer Group for being a part of the program. I have, before our you and I celebration tomorrow with all the coaches and the fans, I have Chris Lorenz, who's the vice president at Palmer Group. We're going to do a quick interview tomorrow at 2:30, and then we'll play it. We won't play it tomorrow, so we'll probably play it on Wednesday since we are out of studio. So, Randy, once again, welcome in. I have some quick things since I have you for another segment, which thank you, by the way, for doing that. Sports betting. in baseball. It's becoming more and more popular. I've watched the different FanDuel, DraftKings, BetMGM be more specific on baseball betting and trying to help people. Baseball, just for someone who likes to sports bet, baseball, I believe, is the hardest because it's hard to do an over-under and not know exactly who's going to pitch. And sometimes you don't know who's pitching until game time, and it makes it more difficult. But it's not as easy sometimes to do as some of the other sports. But it's becoming very popular because people like to watch baseball. You can see so many different games. You don't get that sometimes with a lot of the other sports. When you're talking to players or you see players, is sports betting, does it put an undue more pressure on you because of sports betting and just as a whole with the players and, you know, just to make sure that everybody's on the up and up, or is that even not even a thought process?
It hasn't trickled down to our level yet because there isn't the opportunity to gamble on minor league baseball the way there is major league baseball, even within the legalized sites and some of those things. You think it's hard to predict who's going to play in a major league game. It's nearly impossible because of all the reasons we've just talked about with player movement. You know, and our primary goal is to fill the roster of the major league team and then win secondarily to that. So if there's a need at the major league level to take your best player at the minor league level is done without a second thought, and that certainly impacts whatever odds or lines might be placed. I've always thought that one of the things that has been a perception problem for baseball in the general conversation for probably the last 10 to 15 years is it becomes a popular drumbeat to talk about King NFL and how baseball can't get out of its own way. And a lot of that criticism it has merit. But I think the sports wagering field, even before it became legal, is where baseball was behind because it's hard to gamble on.
It is. It's extremely hard.
It's a day-to-day thing. So therefore it hurts the attention span of the casual bettor in the NFL. It's a once a week thing. The greatest team in the history of the game lost 55 games that season. The worst team in the history of the game won 55 games that season. So that was 55 times that you'd think you could bet against the worst team. And if you did it 162 times, you'd certainly come out on the better end of betting against the Baltimore Orioles the last couple of years. But that's not the nature of the casual sports bettor to stick with $5 a day for the Orioles to lose. Nope. on a money line, nor is that probably all that profitable. So it's hard to understand. It takes a lot more attention span to do. And then it's harder to overreact every day, because just because a great hitter goes 0 for 4 doesn't mean he stinks the same way a quarterback throwing 4 interceptions stinks for the week until his next opportunity to go out there. So I think what makes baseball interesting to me and why I love it is the randomness. Yep. Of the game. That the guy who's won for his last 12 can get the game-winning hit if put into that position. And the guy who's leading the league in hitting may strike out with the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth inning with his team down a run and not come through. And that doesn't mean that first player is the one that I want to build a team around, or the latter example is a guy that I didn't want up in that situation. But all of those things happen almost on a daily basis in baseball, and I think that is where the collective perception that baseball has lost its affinity as the nation's pastime, there's deep roots in that part of it for me. And others may disagree, but I think that's one of the public perception issues that baseball faces in the current day.
And I'm going to hold that thought. I'm just on my baseball betting and why it is so extremely difficult for me. I usually will bet over unders, and I'll bet over unders based on who's pitching. That's always my first thing. So if I get Madison Baumgartner and I get Clayton Kershaw, I'm thinking, okay, even though these are two great teams, those are two great pitchers. Pitchers usually win. I'm going to go under. I lose all the time. Or you have two people you've never heard of that have ERAs over 8 and both of them throw a good game. Or you get somebody that is going to have three or four pitchers in a row. And on some days, that's awesome. On other days, it doesn't work. So I agree with everything that you just said. The part that I love going to a NBA game, a college basketball game, and a college football game, and an NFL game for all those. But it's so, it's just scattered, and it's there's always something. You think you're going to miss something. The reason I love going to baseball games is I like sitting in my seat. I like having a beer. And even if I look away for a second, I'm not missing two outstanding plays. I think it's cerebral. That's why I like baseball the most, because you have to think. That's why I loved coaching it more than anything else. And playing it made it that much fun as well, because every single pitch, everybody on the field has to have some idea of what can happen. And that doesn't always happen in football and basketball.
The other thing for me is when the game's on the line, unless you pull a guy off the bench, you have no choice. You know, you set that lineup at 7:08 p.m. and you have no idea who's going to be batting at 9:30 when the game's on the line and whether that lineup was set to follow the flow of that game or not. When the ball's on the goal line with 30 seconds left, you know who, what player, with the exception of the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl, you know where they're going with the ball, and they dare you to stop it. When the game's on the line in the NBA, you know who's taking the last shot for every single team. You put the game in the hands of your most skilled player. In the game of baseball, you need everybody to come Absolutely. Through at some point. It is the greatest combination of the individual battle of pitcher versus batter and the collective team game, in my opinion, in the way that lays out, because you can't manipulate it the same way that you can the others. And that's why being part of that team and the accountability you have to your teammates, you know, that I can't not take my swings that day. You know, you can mail it in from the end of the bench in the NBA because you know you're never going to get put in there with the game on the line. Every day you're in the lineup, you could be the guy with the game on the line, or the gal in softball with the game on the line. And that was part of the fun of playing it for me, that even if I wasn't the most talented player on my team, I knew at some point there was going to be an opportunity for me to affect the outcome positively or negatively, you know, for my buddies that I was playing high school ball with, or whatever the case may be. That's what makes it fun for me. So I appreciate that part of it. And that's what makes it different. There's a lot of things that just make baseball different than the other sports. Whether that makes it better or worse is in the eye of the beholder. You know, but points of difference of baseball compared to the other major sports, I think, are compelling. And that's why baseball has survived a lot of different trends and things over the years. Because that 60 feet, 6 inches, and 90 feet still works pretty good.
Works really well. Once again, we're talking to Vice President, Assistant GM Randy Wehofer on Steen on Sports. The pitch clock, hit clock. If you were thinking in your head, which is it? Is it a pitch clock or is it a hitter clock?
It's more on the pitcher.
Okay.
Because the pitcher can control the tempo of the game, even without a clock. Guys who like to work fast can influence the batter and the umpire, say, I'm ready, you know, Mark Burley was the best example of that. Greg Maddux was a great example of that. They wanted to get the ball and throw the next pitch, and guys got in the box, and they, you know, Maddux was famous for the 2-hour complete game, and Burley the same way, and they could push the tempo. They control the action of the game, and there's too many pitchers now who are trying to process all the information that they're presented with between every pitch in their head, and this belief that there is a right and wrong pitch to throw in this situation. I don't subscribe to that theory. I think in that count, you can, a well-executed pitch of several kinds will work against most pitchers or against most hitters. But there is so much data of at 2-1, this guy hits the fastball, but so I got to throw him a changeup. No, if you throw that fastball where you want it to go, you'll probably get a good result on that. But there's so much information to process. The pitcher slows down the pace of the game. The catcher trying to remember the scouting report to call the pitch, slows down the pace of the game. So I consider it a pitch clock because the pitcher is who controls the tempo of the game.
And your great pitchers right now, even right now in major leagues, don't have 3-hour games because mm-hmm. they know what they're going to do. It's more the young ones or more that know they don't have the stuff to get major league batters out at 250 or below. You know, they're trying to stay at 350 and below, and that's what changes the game. Do you think the clock is going to make its way into Major League Baseball?
Yes. It's working too well in the case studies at
that's
the minor
what I was
league level.
Too. That's what I said to everybody. It's working too well.
And there is no other way to entice a change in the behavior. You know, the intention of the pitch clock at the minor league level was to get players used to it so that they would be ingrained with that behavior by the time you got to the major leagues. That hasn't worked. You know, Chipper Jones wore his socks high and his pants below his knees because the Braves required it of minor league players. So that was the only way he knew to put his uniform on, and he was conditioned because that's the way management wanted it to happen when guys got to the big leagues. That's not happening. Guys are not being conditioned to behavior in the minor leagues. They're going to the big leagues and saying, I'm in the big leagues now. Big leaguers get to do whatever the heck they want, and they do whatever the heck they want. So in order to instigate a change in behavior, it has not worked the way they had hoped to change the game at the minor league level without being that intrusive at the major league level and then subjecting that to collective bargaining. They can do it in the minor leagues without anybody's permission. They need the players' permission to do it. But I think the players recognize that pace of game is an important piece to fan engagement.
Big deal or not a big deal, having the pitcher and catcher be able to communicate at the major league level without giving signals?
I think in this current climate, it's a big deal because the managers, pitchers, and catchers are paranoid about sign stealing more than ever before.
Right.
And the use of technology to perfect sign stealing more than ever before. So anything, it was mentioned in the broadcast last night, that David Ross's comment was, I love it because it takes away a worry of mine every time there's a runner at second base for the other team, wondering if they've got something on us that's giving them an unfair advantage. And if that's creating that much stress and brain space consumption for a guy like David Ross, then to eliminate that makes the game better because now all of that time and attention and energy is being spent making that pitch with conviction, making the hitter less advantaged in those situations. And you know, I think you should have to, you know, I had a high school coach whose steal sign was jerking his head towards second base when you were standing on first. You know, I think at the major league level, guys are talented enough that you should have a little bit more sophistication to your communication than that. But the propensity for players to cheat, to steal that information is a problem.
Okay, seriously, I have some more stuff. Do you have to go or can you stay?
I do kind of have to go tonight.
He has to go tonight. See, look at this. It is so much fun. I love these Mondays. It's the best. I'm such a baseball guy, and you don't get to talk to people about baseball anymore. Once again, Randy Wehofer, Vice President, Assistant General Manager of the iCubs. I appreciate it, my friend. You're listening to Steen on Sports. I'll have the last segment. Not going to be as good without him here, but we're going to have it anyway. See you when we get back.
Project Shop Off Limits. Join the conversation now on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. Last segment of this Monday. Once again, I want to thank Randy Wehofer for coming in. He is the Vice President, Assistant General Manager of the iCubs. He is a baseball savant, if you can't tell. And our off talks are just as good and so many great things. I really appreciate him coming in. He comes in every Monday at 5 o'clock and stays as long as he can stay. So, and he's always welcome because I have 10,000 questions in the back of my mind that have everything to do with baseball. That is my love. And always has been my love of all sporting, anything sporting. Baseball makes it better. If everybody had the mindset of a baseball player, the world would be a better place. Quirky, but better. Want to welcome you in. It's Dean on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. And the website's 1700thechamp.com. Going to thank our sponsors once again, Woodman Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic, Northwest Bank, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Palmer Group. Couldn't do it without them. Wouldn't want to do it without them as well. Tomorrow, we are, Scott and I will be at the Hall. And it's just off a railroad down by Valley Junction. And it is the UNI Panther Caravan. We are going to have interviews. And I have the address here. I just saw it. It's 111 South 11th Street, if you want to plug it in so you can make sure that you can get here. We are going to have David Harris, athletic director for the University of Northern Iowa, Mark Farley, football coach, Ben Jacobson, men's basketball coach, Tanya Warren, women's basketball coach, Doug Schwab, wrestling coach, and where is my... Bobby Peterson is the volleyball coach, and she was the hit of the caravan last year, so I can't wait to get to talk to them tomorrow about UNI Panther sports. I am a Panther. My wife is a Panther, so very excited about that. One of the things that was out there today, kind of have a little bit of a hubbub about who should have won MVP, should it have been Joel Embiid, should it have been the Joker, should it have been Giannis? So it brought into play who is the best basketball player in the world. And this is my up-to-the-minute thought process on that. Until someone knocks him off the mantle, it has to be Giannis. Giannis won the championship last year. He won the most valuable player. He's continued on. He could have just as easily have been the most valuable player of the league this year. All three of them, the simple fact that all three of the top players were all center-ish, even though Giannis can go outside and Embiid goes outside. I mean, none of them are prototypical old-school fives. They are fives that play 3.5. So they can play a little small forward. They can play a little big forward, power forward. And then they can play center as well. It makes them extremely unique. When you throw Luka Doncic in there as well, you know, the league has a lot of stars. But four of the top five, if you throw LeBron in there as well, five out of the top 10 are bigs. I mean, LeBron's a big. He's a power forward. Their skill levels are, you know, all of them have had things that they had to work on. The Joker had to get in shape. He had to be more aggressive on offense and a little more aggressive on defense, but he's an amazing passer. Luka Doncic, same thing. He needs to get in shape. He needed to be in shape. He needed to be able to play, you know, he needed to be able to play full games. Same with Embiid. He had to get healthy. He had to have the ability of not getting hurt. And when you're as big as he is and you have the ability that he does, those are the things that you're looking for. Giannis was the same way. He had to, number one, he needed to get away from his free throw issues. And taking longer to shoot free throws is never good. Free throw shooting, unlike regular shooting, should not even be a thought process. It has to be a motion that you walk up and your arms just do it without you even thinking about it. And he had to work at that, and he's much better at that. It's very interesting, all the things that you look when you're trying to decide who the best basketball player is. It doesn't mean who wins a championship. That doesn't always mean that person is the best basketball player. So I'm very curious to see, and I like the fact that other people. I talk a lot about Trae Young, and I saw Trae Young already starting for next season, And the first thing he's doing, he's going to the weight room. Trae Young didn't play as well in his last series because the team that they played said, we're going to beat you up. Miami said, we're going to bang you every place we can. And you're not going to want to get a shot off because you're going to be sore because we're hitting you from every screen and we're running you through every screen. He's got to get bigger. You know, there's everybody. Steph Curry had to go through that. You know, you have to find your niche, and then you have to be able to be multidimensional. You know, if Giannis, if he couldn't shoot outside of 12 feet, he was never going to be the player that he was. Joel Embiid was the same way. It's interesting how or what we're going to see all these people end up doing. Monday night matchup, it's not even the first Monday night matchup. It's the second week Monday night matchup. Maybe they don't have Monday night that first week. Tennessee Titans at the Buffalo Bills and the Minnesota Vikings at the Philadelphia Eagles. The schedule is going to start slowly working its way out as we move along. So that'll be very interesting to see what happens. So, it's, you know, that scheduling's everything anymore. It really is. You have to figure out, you know, when people play, how they play. It's, you know, I guarantee you that teams have individuals because they know who they play and they're already out there trying to figure out when they're going to slot because you know the teams, you just don't know when the dates and when you're going to see them. In 2016, there were 28 new head football coaches at the Division I level in college football. As of yesterday, 8 of them are left at their original teams. One of those 8, Matt Campbell. And just we got like a couple minutes here. Greg Oden. I don't know if anybody remembers Greg Oden. He played at Ohio State. Big guy. He a lot like Joel Embiid before Joel Embiid and the way that you physically have to take care of yourself. He was hurt a lot, and this is one of his things. And he had a very, very well-spoken man had an interview, and he said, on his physical and his mental pain and anguish while he was playing, after multiple surgeries, every night, he had to drink enough that he was almost at a drunk stage. He took 2 Vicodin, 2 PM tablets of Advil or Tylenol, 2 Benadryls, and washed it down with booze to get 4 hours of sleep. That's what he had to do to even try to get 4 hours of sleep. That's the hidden secret of being a professional athlete. And when you look at Simone Biles and you look at Michaela Schifrin and you look at the tennis player and you look at some of these people, why they have so much trouble and why panic and why all of that, it's the wear and tear on your body and your mind and your heart and everything. So when you're thinking about, you know, oh my gosh, he's not playing very well, I'm going to boo him, just try to think what everything that some of these athletes are going through. Number one question on everybody's mind right now for the Green Bay Packers, and there's a bunch of Packer fans here, a bunch of Packer fans in my family, can Alan Lazard be a number one wide receiver in the NFL? I would love to be able to sit here and tell you, as much as I love Alan Lazard, he's a great kid. Nobody's going to work harder at it. Nobody is going to give it as much as he can. I think he can be a great 2. I think he's an outstanding 3. But being a 1 it's so much pressure. I'm going to be very interested on what Green Bay ends up being. The other thing that I wanted to talk about a little bit, This was crazy. I see, and I ran out of time, so I can't even do it. Look at that. I was going to give you an F1 situation. I'll try to do that on Wednesday when we're back in here. Tomorrow, once again, you and I, Panther, we are going to – it's going to be fun. We got a bunch of you and I, Panther coaches. come check us out at the Hall. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM. Bye.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700, The Champ.
There's a report of a vehicle fire, Highway 5 northbound at exit 97 on the bypass, so keep an eye out in that area. Otherwise, 63rd Street south of 235 is running slow at the moment. 235 through downtown Des Moines is looking good right now.
Your sore joints are keeping you from what you really want to do. DMOS can help. Des Moines Orthopedic Surgeons. DMOS, a nationally recognized team of orthopedic specialists, can help make it happen. At DMOS, we're ready to help you get back to living. Learn more at DMOS.com.
Iowa Cubs are back in town this week battling the Omaha Storm Chasers, the Royals affiliate, in a six-game series. On Tuesdays, get two reserved tickets, two pizza slices, and two drinks for $32. Enjoy day baseball with noon starts on Wednesday and Thursday. Day games are great for work meetings and long lunches. We'll have Friday night fireworks. Musco sponsors a Brennan Davis jersey t-shirt giveaway on Saturday. On Sunday, we celebrate Des Moines with 515 Day for May 15th. Have fun and make memories with your iCubs. For tickets and details, visit iowacubs.com.
May is such an inspirational month. Why? Because it's time to dump that flunky junk you hate driving and graduate to a nicer, newer car today. Hey, Des Moines, Instructor Joe here from Capital City Motor Company. Does your old car get an F? This May, you can get an A when you upgrade today. This month, get up to $5,000 over appraised value for your old car or earn a full ride to Joe State for just $5 down. Are you still stuck in credit detention? Don't stop dreaming, because my one and only For the People credit approval process schools the bankers and lenders until we get you approved, even if you're still making payments, even if you've been turned down before. So get up to $5,000 more than your trade's worth, or get the car of your dreams for just $5 down. Des Moines, it's time to graduate to a nicer, newer car today. I'm Joe Clemens, and I'm your dealer For the People. Your future is bright at Capital City Motor Company in Des Moines on East University, one block off I-235 on the State Fair side. Call 265-1467 or online at approvedbyjoe.com. approvedbyjoe.com. www.approvedbyjoe.com.
Vehicle purchase price, specs, actual trade allowance, all terms subject to approval, some minimum requirements. Look, Mom, I did it.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season, from clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season, and of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Department of Veterans Affairs is so innovative, it not only improves the lives of veterans, it transforms the lives of healthcare professionals who serve them. With access to the latest technologies and remarkable benefits, transform your future at vacareers.va.gov.
Take a step toward bringing our country and community together. Start a meaningful conversation at lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep. A message from StoryCorps, Love Has No Labels, and the Ad Council.
1700 The Champ is Des Moines' home for professional play-by-play. Every Kansas City Chiefs and NFL primetime game live on terrestrial AM radio.
The game is over, and the Chiefs' kingdom has firmly planted its flag on top of football's highest summit.
We also have your baseball covered with the Minnesota Twins. For a complete schedule, visit 1700thechamp.com.
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
For those fortunate enough to help the person who has always been their hero, find the care guides you need to help at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Sign up for 101.3 and 1700 The Champs eClub online at 1700thechamp.com.
You've got mail.
In the top right corner, you can create an account by connecting Facebook or enter your information manually. Just make sure you double check your account settings and make sure you receive emails from us. 1700 The Champ. Now on the FM dial at 101.3.
101.3 FM and 1700 The Champ is Des Moines' home for professional play-by-play. Every Kansas City Chiefs and NFL primetime game live on terrestrial radio. We also have your baseball covered with the Minnesota Twins. Hey, and don't forget the legendary Jim Rome, weekdays from 11 to 2, and the UNI Panthers. For a complete schedule, visit 1700thechamp.com. 1700 The Champ, now on the FM dial at 101.3. KBGG Des Moines and K267CY Des Moines, 101.3 FM and 1700 The Champ, a Cumulus Media station. Online.